Broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond. This is the place for Coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalyn.
All right, Coastsiders, good morning. Come on, get up, get out of bed. It's not a half day or anything. Let's go. It's a work day. It's Friday, September 26, 2025. It's Coastal Windage time. Okay, here we go. This is Coastal Windage. Wake up now. The talk of the coast. Coastside's very own live call-in talk radio show. Good morning, Crystalyn.
Good morning.
How's things?
Awesome, always.
Yeah, it's true with you. It is. I mean, that's one of the joys of a Friday here at Coastal Windage is no matter how rough the week has been, there's Crystalyn, and things are always great in her world. Or at least, I mean, you project that. I mean, it can't be great all the time. It never is for anybody. And yet.
Yeah, no, honestly.
It seems like it with you.
Yes, I will. I've actually had probably two or three of the hardest weeks of my working career, actually, in these last 3 weeks.
Whoa.
But at the end of the day, everything is fine.
Well, I need some of what you're drinking because
it's perspective. If I walked around all day just, you know, in my dumpy dumps, then, you know, I'm not bringing any joy to anybody. And what's fun about that?
All right. So see, now you went too far. Now you're just like, okay, that's just too good. No. You know, too good. All right. But anyways, that's you're a joy to be around, and definitely appreciate that. I don't know, something in the air. It's been a tough, September was a rough month,
yeah,
work-wise, and it just was rough. So, okay, we're in October now. This is the month for the Coastside, so let's just October this thing up and do some good stuff this morning. All right, here's our topics. Well, hold on. We're officially 2 weeks out from Pumpy Fest.
Woo-hoo!
2 weeks, people. Do you know where your pumpkins are?
Yeah,
they're out on 92 in the field. I mean, that's kind of a sad thing. Maybe we can have Cameron in here the Friday. What's that? The 17th before, because the thing that makes me a little bit sad about we don't grow pumpkins here anymore. Like this is like
they do. I drove by a field just yesterday that was full of growing pumpkins.
Growing pumpkins
growing
or
pumpkins.
Pumpkins that they literally cart in a cart and set on the ground.
No. This was vines, pumpkin vines.
Where is this?
It was in Half Moon Bay. I was going up into the back farm country.
Up Higgins Purissima?
No.
Exactly. They're not ubiquitous. There's not pumpkin fields everywhere or artichoke fields anymore either.
But some of the farms, the farm that they grow the pumpkins on is not the farm that they sell them on.
Right,
so they have cut the pumpkins from their vines on farm A, but they sell it on farm B because farm B is the one closer to the road.
I'm just saying, like, it's one of these things.
I am not saying that we grow every single pumpkin that's sold out of the Coastside, but I am just saying that there are plenty of farms around here that grow pumpkins.
Okay. All right. I'll take your word for it. She's the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce. I think she would know.
I absolutely know.
Okay. We'll take your word for it. Okay.
Seen it with my own eyes.
Okay. All right. Topics for today. Gone fishing. No news is local news. And with the second try at El Granada Community Park yet. Got to give the like. at the end, right? Yet. Okay. Listeners. Call in. We've got Windage Bucks. We'll talk about those in a second. 650-560-9851. We got topics today that Crystal and I are really interested in hearing your input on. Gone Fishing is about the federal government shutdown. No News is Local News is about how do you find out what's going on in the local community here with the dearth of outlets for news. And El Granada Community Park, yet relatively self-explanatory. I guess, are you pro or con having a nice community park right there in the Burnham Strip in El Granada? Okay. Give us a call. Let us know your thoughts. This is a call-in talk radio show, 650-560-9851. And do it quickly before the Google robocalls get in before you, right? we have to get additional phone lines added just to, you know, make room because Google's calling us so often.
The board is back.
Okay, Frank got a hold of my rotary dial phone from the garage in my house. Okay, air quality report. Yes, you know it. We're the only ever in the history of. To bring you the live air quality report, 0 to 50, incredible, 51 to 100, pretty good. Over that, we don't even bother. Today in El Granada, we're back to our usual 10 in El Granada. Amazing. 14 in Half Moon Bay, 8 in Redwood City, 8 in Santa Cruz. And today, in the village of Chiwan, it's 10 today in Chiwan. Okay. Remember, I mentioned windage bucks. We have an Easter egg every show, which is the kind of anomalous location that we give in our list. All those were like local locations, right? But then there's usually a last one that's anomalous. It's related to something else in the show. And that was Chiwan, was the village that we mentioned. 10 there today. If you know what it is, give us a call in. We've got a windage bucks waiting for you. What are windage bucks, you ask? Oh, thank you for asking, Crystalyn. I saw you.
Looking confused?
Well, looking
perplexed.
Excited about the windage bucks. Okay, these are real things with real value in the community, people. These aren't little scraps of paper that you can get, you know, like, pat on the back from Crystalyn or I. These are real things. These are cards produced by the Half Moon Bay High School football team to raise money. And there's one of these things where you buy this card for like $20. And it offers discounts and special deals at numerous local merchants and businesses here on the coast side.
And shocker, sponsored by Cameron's Pub.
Yeah. For example, Cameron's has two offers on this Windage Bucks Half Moon Bay High School football team discount card. So Cameron's Pub and Restaurant, Round Table Pizza, La Costanera, Half Moon Bay Brewing Company, Bel Mateo Bowl. So that's over the hill. Only because for some reason we no longer have the amazing architectural structure and community gathering place formerly known as C Bowl, which now just sits as an empty abandoned parking lot and building. Yeah, I'm chafed about it. Anyways, Bel Mateo Bowl over in San Mateo is on this card. The Happy Taco, Frank the Engineer's favorite place. Harbor Pizza, Taste Cafe, and more. Okay? This is literally like $3,000 worth of No? All right. Maybe $100 worth of... Yeah. I mean, I get a little, you know, I haven't added it all up, but it's a lot of money worth of discounts at 13 different local businesses. So as a friend of the football program, Coastal Windage made a bulk purchase of these cards, which we have rebranded as Windage Bucks. Call in, get a Windage Buck, okay? And go to Cameron's and get some free night. Hold on, we need like reverb and echo. This is like your monster truck thing. Free nitro wings, you know, like something out of The Simpsons, Truckosaurus. Okay, in fact,
actually, yeah, at Cameron's it would be Busosaurus.
Yeah, Busosaurus, exactly.
Which is also very cute. If anybody's not seen it, they turned the double decker bus into like this little cute boutique. That his daughter and his love are doing, and his son has like a little corner where they sell puzzles and clothes and all kinds of fun little cute things. So it's okay. Actually really, really adorable.
As my son, when he was a little tyke, and I spent many a night roaming around in the refurbished Cameron's double-decker bus that was, you know, like an old car, basically, an old abandoned car, but it was fun for a little 2 or 3 year old to run around in, you know. Yeah. So it's been fixed up now. Okay.
Well, yeah, now it's a very, very cute boutique.
Okay, very cool. That's a good idea for it. All right. In fact, we will give away one of these Windage Bucks right now to the very next caller. Windage Bucks, you want one. Okay. This has been a bit of an annoying thing, Gristlin. In the Truthmaker household, we're currently under siege from an ant invasion.
Oh, no.
Yeah, not Mrs. Truthmaker's mom's sisters, Patty, Laverne, and Maxine, haven't come to stay with us through the holidays yet. Thank you. Windage Bucks, anybody? Patty, Laverne, and Maxine, anybody know who that is? Windage Bucks, give us a call. It's ants, specifically the tiny black pavement ants. You know these characters? They're basically unstoppable because there's gazillions of them. They're tiny little things. They can get into the tiniest little crack in your baseboard or whatever. I mean, the thing about these pavement ants is they do live outside for the most part. That's why they're called pavement ants. But they randomly, it seems like, come inside. We'll go months and months.
I think it's to escape the water, the rain.
Yeah, that's... Mrs. Truthmaker's like, they're coming in to look for water. They're coming in to escape for water. I'm like, I'm not buying either one of those. Because...
They're coming in to be...
It's not like we live in the Sahara Desert or something. You know? Like, I think they can find water. And the food, like, why aren't they in there all the time? You know, it doesn't... I've been watching these ants for 25 years now out here, and it doesn't really make any sense. Here's my theory, which we had the interns do some research on this, and they came back with, well, it's the times of year when the colony is expanding or they're looking for food. Not buying it because of the randomness of how they come in. I'm going to put out there it has to do with barometric pressure changes. There you go. What? Frank, really? No rim shot on that? Nothing? No... Exclamation point. Come on, we just broke new scientific ground here. Yeah, I think you hit the wrong button there.
I think that was perfectly right.
I mean, Frank has this he's like, you know, a peaceful, nice person, but you put this Foley box in front of him and he just gets this diabolical grin on his face. It's a side of you that I don't think many people know, Frank. Okay. Here's some fun facts about ants, in case you were wondering.
I was not.
Really? Are you creeped out by ants?
So when I was like maybe 5 or 6 years old, I saw a horror movie that was kind of like Arachnophobia, but it was the ant version.
Invasion of the Ants with Joan Collins?
Must be.
Incredible movie. Yes.
But ever, I cannot do ants. They just...
So in that movie... In that movie, they're down in Florida or something, and some company has been dumping nuclear waste, and so the ants get into it and grow to be a humongous size.
Oh, no, it's not that one.
Oh, then that was maybe the movie with, what's his name, Charlton Heston, in Brazil, about the army ants that take over.
Or like a town, but they stay normal ants. They're just Charlton super Heston aggressive and they're bitey.
Well, so pavement ants don't bite. That's another thing. Like, I literally have them walking across my keyboard and my computer screen in my office at home this last couple of weeks while we've been dealing with this latest, influx of the ants. So they don't bite. They're really tiny. We had ants growing up in my house that were in the oak trees that if you touch them or crush them, put off that ants, folic acid or whatever it is that has the distinctive ant smell. These ants don't smell. So, I mean, they're relatively benign as ants go. They're just annoying.
I will say what I have done to combat the ants in our apartment is, which sounds like so low-key and lame, but it works. If you follow them back and figure out where they're coming in, I just cover it with painter's tape. And then, you know, they just kind of give up, honestly.
Okay.
I think, knock on wood, but like three or four years ago, I was having a consistent issue with the ants, followed their trail, covered it with painter's tape, left the painter's tape up there for like a solid month, and I have not had ants since.
Okay. So we use a peppermint essential oil, a mix of 50-50 with water in a sprayer, and that works really well. Some people use Dawn soap.
Yeah.
So, what, listeners, what's your homemade remedy for dealing with it? Because what we don't use in the Truth Maker, we don't use poisons, we don't use ant bait traps, we don't use sprayed spray can. You're breathing all that stuff in. Don't get me started on air freshener.
And we all have dogs, so that's not great for dogs.
No, it's not. It's not good for humans. It's poison. Poison. Whether it's Roundup that you're spraying in the ground, or Raid that you're spraying around, or whatever, it's poison meant to kill carbon-based life forms. Don't do it. Okay, so there's other ways to do it. Essential peppermint oil, painter's tape, Dawn. Listeners,
painter's tape and no one dies.
Give a call in. Get a windage buck if you have your own homemade method you'd like to share with us. Fun facts about ants: are more than 12,000 species of the little creepy crawlies. They can lift 20 times their body weight. They can live 2 hours without oxygen. They've been around since the dinosaurs. They can swim. Now, this one's weird. They have no lungs, ears, or blood. Yes. The pavement ants in particular are not native to North America. In 2014, pavement ants were taken into space and studied on the International Space Station. Shooting yourself in the foot, space station, because guess what? Now the space station is covered in pavement ants. You're not getting rid of them. The scientists discovered that pavement ants adapted well to zero gravity and soon began working together like they do back on Earth to create a colony and provide for each other. Nice job, space station.
That's how Frank feels about ants.
Okay, well, you know what? Anyways, they come, they go. There doesn't seem any rhyme or reason. Like I said, what is your homemade remedy? All right. I saw in a post from the county or somewhere, it affects you or your businesses that you work with directly and indirectly because you are based in Half Moon Bay, but I'm sure you have businesses all up and down the coast side, including the unincorporated county.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So, the minimum wage around these parts is about to get a bump, but only for the unincorporated county. It will rise 40 cents up to $17.95.
But it'll happen in city limits, too. It's automatic now.
Well, this was specifically for unincorporated parts of the county.
Right, but they both use a similar study where a couple, I want to say 2 years ago, they changed it so that minimum wage just automatically went up by the CPI. So Half Moon Bay and the county are, I think, currently, if I remember correctly, only 1 cent difference.
Okay.
That'll slowly change over time because the county, they started off at a ever so slightly different number. But, yeah, every January 1st, the minimum wage should go up by roughly 3%.
$17.95. That's inconceivable to me. I think we've discussed on the show my first W-2 job at the tender age of 16 at Taco Bell, the corner of Madison and 2nd in beautiful, Frank, this is where we need like a deflating balloon or something, in beautiful El Cajon, California. Wah, wah, wah. Thank you. Thank you. That is the theme song of El Cajon, California, I believe.
Aww.
Yeah. Okay, we're done with that segment. We're in the speed round. This is the speed dating version of Coastal Windage.
I'm sure El Cajon thinks El Cajon is really cool.
I don't think they do, actually. El Cajon is a city that is kicking put its own kick me sign on its own back. I don't think morale is super high in El Cajon. Okay, now you're just hitting random buttons. I started and ended that Taco Bell job making the minimum wage at the time $3.35 an hour. Okay. The minimum wage has been around since 1938 when the Fair Labor Standards Act mandated a minimum wage. 1938, the Great Depression, people were making literally pennies, or if they could even get that, an hour or a day. Here's some perspective on this minimum wage thing. I mean, I'm not against people getting money, but I do think that Here's some perspective. My brother, who just had a birthday a couple weeks ago, we mentioned it on the show, with a college degree and 5 years of working for the United States Forest Service, could leave his job at the Forest Service today and make more money on his first day working for minimum wage at Burger King in Bozeman, Montana, or Half Moon Bay, California. So I put Bozeman, Montana in there because it's not just that we live in such a high, you know, cost of living area. And that is just not right. When you're working for the federal government, which we'll get to in just a second, that's your profession or your job to you know, pay your bills and support yourself and possibly your family or whatever. You should not be paid less than a minimum wage job at a fast food joint, because I know that our economy has changed and that's not the way it is anymore. Fast food jobs were never intended to be the job to support your household. And so therefore, to have a $18 an hour working the counter at Burger King, the whole thing is off. The whole thing is off. Okay. And so, yeah, I'm not against it. So great. You know, if people working at Burger King are making 18 bucks an hour, I'm not against that and them. I'm just saying it's out of perspective and scale when somebody working their profession can't even for the federal government. Okay, moving on to that. Gone.
But should also, I'm I'm not arguing with you, but
that's fine.
Federal.
Go ahead.
It's a hard one. We're essentially in a big catch 22 where, you know, one goes up, then the cost of living and everything goes up, and then it causes it to go up. So I have no idea what the solution is to even that out. But the federal minimum wage, I believe, is still like something insane, like $7 or something like that. And hasn't changed since 2009, I think.
Yeah.
So that's part of the problem across the rest of the country, is that so many states are not, you know, doing what California did, which was like, people can't live off of that. So that's still their base standard.
Well, that's not going to change anytime soon, because I'm not sure if anybody's noticed, but on Tuesday, our federal government done hung a big old gone fishing sign on its doors. I don't work for the federal government. As I mentioned, my brother does. And my parents worked for the county of San Diego as civil servants their whole life, making much less than they could in the private sector, because they cared about this country. They cared about their community. And I'm just saying to listeners, it is demoralizing, embarrassing, and really unconscionable that the government is shut down. And we're not a political show. We get into government, and so we're and we talk about local topics. But this topic affects everybody in this country, in every community, because we have people in this community that work for the federal government. And as an example, Golden Gate National Recreation Area, which are the hills behind El Granada and Montera and Moss Beach. Closed, technically closed. Not allowed. You're not allowed to go there. Okay? That's why. Why? Because our federal government is technically closed, which, again, folks, you should, as Americans, we should all be embarrassed about this. Our government is closed. Our government can't figure out how to work together for the people that it's supposed to work for. So like I said, we're not a political show, so we're not going to get into the details on that, but it's pretty clear to me why this federal shutdown has happened. And again, I point to that segment, that faction, and say it's unconscionable. What you're doing is unconscionable. You know it's wrong. And you're hurting people. You're hurting real people who have jobs and careers and families. And for what? For your own policy motivation, philosophical motivation, lust for power and control and domination. You're hurting people. So mostly it feels like we're immune to this shutdown out here on the coast side. We don't have a bunch of federal agencies that have offices out here. But we have a lot of people in this community who work for federal agencies like the USGS and organizations like that. Coastsiders, again, like we're not feeling this maybe directly in our day-to-day lives out here on the coast side. Our main governmental lifelines out here are county and state. But
there's a lot of people who are technically out of work right now.
Technically out of work, exactly.
So
being furloughed and may lose, again, like who's pushing this and for what agenda? The stated, one of the downstream stated hoped for by this faction results are going to be to not only have people out of work right now, but to lay them off or fire them permanently. This is a step towards that. So again, hurting people's lives for what? Coastsiders, how has the federal shutdown affected your daily lives? Again, I'm going to say like the daily operational effect on my life has been minimal, but the morale, the effect on my morale and my mental health has been considerable. I feel so bummed about this, as everybody should. So, Coastsiders, how has this affected your daily life?
Well, I think also it doesn't affect it so quickly. So it's like these things happen, and whether it's the cuts in funding that are, you know, trickling down, like there's cuts in funding that came much earlier this year that because the agencies and organizations you know, we're only set to get that funding and do their programming now. It's like you'll start to feel it now for things that happened, that started happening on the federal level months and months and months ago. So I think that's the other part that makes it really difficult to, you know, wrap your head around how do these things affect me, because it's not like the government shuts down and then we feel the pinch the very next day. We don't actually start to feel the pinch for weeks and months and even possibly a year, depending on, you know, what it is we're trying to do. So it just makes it kind of difficult to quantify it.
Here's an example. People are still going to get their Social Security checks. We have a lot of seniors in this community. They're still going to get their Social Security checks. But if there's a problem and you need to call the Social Security Association or contact somebody to deal with your Social Security check, which it, for many people is their lifeline, guess what? Ain't going to be nobody answering the phone. And that's what you're talking about. The downstream effects of, like, it's not going to, like, the next day, Tuesday at noon when it shut down, suddenly your life didn't come crashing down. But when you need the help that the federal government provides, like, when did the federal government or working for the federal government or having a federal bureaucracy become such a negative thing? Become such a, like, a drag on the American society and stuff? It's not. It's one of the things that has made this country great. Public education, things like that, that the federal government supports and makes possible. Our daily lives are made possible by the federal government because we're not out there standing on the beach with shotguns preventing an invasion. We have a standing military, a professional military that is paid for by the federal government and managed by the federal government. The federal government does so many things for us in our daily lives that we don't feel from minute to minute. Mm-hmm. It's not the enemy, and it should be supported and built up. I just, again, this is
flummoxing.
It's really, really distressing and I just obviously really upset about it. Okay, so what do we got? 1 minute or is it time for our break? Okay, we're going to go to a commercial break and we'll be right back in just a moment.
This is Community Radio for the Coast Side. 100.9 KHMB. Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
this is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me along with Stan Warren Luttrell after Coastal Windage. We'll get a look at today in history and a brand new forgotten find. Coming up at 10 a.m. from 100.9 FM KHMB.
And we're back. Okay, I needed a massive daub. In fact, they didn't even bring out the interns have to daub me in case I get worked up and sweaty. This was beyond that. They busted out some big old fluffy beach towel, and I just got a complete pat down. Okay. I mean, I care. I'm passionate. I care about this country, and it makes me sad. Okay, this also makes me sad. This next story, it's a sad. Lordy. I know. I what can I say?
Man, two clouds come out, and you're just a puddle.
Well, I'm normally a puddle. People would say like that's my normal state. Okay. You know this old saying, right? No news is local news.
Good news.
Or is it all news is no news is good news. No news is good news. Well, if it's the last one, then there's nothing but green grass and high tides forever for us here on the coast side, because in fact around these parts there's not that much news. So no news, and folks, when there's not much news, no news is bad news. Okay? Local news and content is disappearing faster than open space in El Granada right now. Okay, local news has collapsed across the United States in recent decades, with a 75% drop in local journalists since 2002. This is according to a report from the Muckrack and Rebuild Local News, which you can question the credibility of that organization. I mean, Muckrakers are a historical group that just, you know, kind of rebelled against things in the 1800s. So muckraking just means like you're not just gonna swallow the pap put out by somebody, say like the White House press secretary. Okay, you're not gonna just swallow it down. You're gonna dig in yourself and look into it. One in three U.S. counties does not have the equivalent. One in three counties, not city, town. Yeah. One in three U.S. counties does not have the equivalent of one full-time local journalist. Not just a paper, a journalist. One single full-time journalist. And an average of 2.5 newspapers shut down each week. So I don't know if you saw, well, how does that affect us here? Well, Coastside News, we'll get to that in a second, but I don't know if you saw this last week, a local TV station serving Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz, three pretty fairly large-sized communities, abruptly shut its doors last week. It just literally, like, people came in the morning. By noon, they were ushered out the door, right, TV station closed. KION-TV announced that, quote, beginning that afternoon, it would no longer produce its own full local newscasts. Key there being its own full local newscasts. It instead announced that it's going to partner with KPIX, CBS in San Francisco, you know, a major media market that isn't going to carry any stories about Salinas. Okay, they're going to partner with KPIX to bring viewers, quote, the most significant stories from Northern and Central California. So this is what's missing. Yeah, you'll maybe hear about some school shooting or somewhere in Northern California, but you're not going to hear about the little granular things happening in your community.
Which is pretty wild, because Monterey is its own county, Santa Cruz is its own county, and then they're going to have news from a third county, is 3 hours away.
One in three U.S. counties does not have the equivalent of one full-time local journalist. So they're not going to have little stories. So, okay, so maybe you won't get a story about the ribbon cutting of the Cunha Athletic Field here in Half Moon Bay. But you're not going to be able to find out what's going on in your community from the Ral Bradley, an executive at the News, Press, and Gazette. Our partnership with KPIX ensures that viewers across the Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz region continue to receive the high-quality local journalism they deserve. That's just a flat-out lie. They're not getting local. It's said right there. They're not getting local journalism. They're getting the most significant stories from Northern and Central California. They're getting the big stories that every, you know, station's going to carry. They're not getting any local specific stuff. And where did I get that story about the Monterey station? From The Guardian, a national news outlet, because there wasn't any local coverage of that. So last week we did kind of a humble brag about how many years and episodes we've been doing 100% live participatory call-in talk show from Main Street on a locally owned and operated station, KHMB, here in town. Kind of a humble brag, but also a lament. It was really a lament. So we have Coastside Buzz, we have KHMB, and we have Coastside News. And then we have Nextdoor. That's a social media platform. And frankly, no, I give no credibility to citizen journalism. It's not. It's just pap that people put up on the internet. Okay? Journalism has a process, an editorial review.
You can get a degree in it.
You can get a degree. It's professionals who are making considerate professional judgments about what to include and how structured the story should be and what's missing and confirming sources. That is not citizen journalism. Citizen journalism is just junk. Okay, I'm sorry. And you could call this a citizen journalist show if you want to call it junk. That's fine. I don't purport to be a professional journalist. And neither is anybody on social media, especially influencers and other junk artists like that. Okay. So we have those three outlets, but there's no longer a local paper. But Ruben, I see you getting ready to say, Crystalyn, there's Coastside News. Folks, Coastside News does have local stories. They do have reporters that go to things in the community and write stories. But guess what? They also have many, many articles on their site, not written by a local reporter, picked up off the wire from other places, just like this radio TV station in Monterey is going to be doing. And it's not local anymore in the sense that there's no office to go to. There's no place to go to. There's no building. There's no person to like that you could walk up to and say, hey, okay? There's no local presence. Last week, I had a story scoop for the paper. I called the editor and the publisher, the lines listed on Coastside News. Both of their voicemails told me that their boxes are full, couldn't take messages, bye-bye, so can't even leave a message. I sent them both emails, no response. In the old days, I would have walked across the street to Kelly, up Kelly, to the office, knocked on the door, and sat down with Clay Lambert and said, hey, I've got this idea for you. And he would have said, okay, thank you, you know, whatever.
So this is a big issue across multiple sectors.
Yes.
People want the service, but they don't pay for it. And so what happens is then you end up losing services because we all have to downgrade because people feel like getting the service for free is good enough. So, like, as an example, for the chamber, we went into the pandemic with 375 paid memberships. So $300 a year for businesses or $550 for our enhanced package. And now we really, really struggle to be at 180. So 180 businesses paying $300 or $500 a year does not even pay my salary, which is why I constantly end up being a chamber of one person because I have to ping pong to have staff because I can't pay to have them there. And I constantly get told on the street, which I love. I love all the compliments that myself and the chamber get for the work that we do. But very few people pay into the pot for us to be able to do that. And people don't necessarily feel the urge to, when they pay the $300 or $500, they then want my undivided attention to help them with their one thing. So I do my best, but the then they get, some people get upset and drop their membership because I can't handle every single person's individual thing. But nobody wants to really put a price on the fact that in 7 years, I have only missed 2 city council meetings. I have only missed a handful of MCC meetings. I have only missed a handful of PMAC meetings, which is why I know what I know. And I feel like journalism and the news groups suffer the same problem. Advertisers are willing to advertise, but they want a very specific ROI, return on investment. And people want to subscribe and they want to read the news, but they only want to subscribe for 99 cents. Or that doesn't pay salaries. That doesn't pay rent on a building. That doesn't pay, that barely pays workers' comp. In California has some of the strictest rules on what a business has to, you know, pay on behalf of an employee. And so for every, you know, dollar that you put into salary, you then have to match that. And it just, for groups like us who we 100% have to rely on any segment of the public to keep us going, it's the hardest climb there ever was.
Well, this is another reason why I hate social media, because social media is one of the things that has destroyed local journalism. I mean, the internet, but social media, because of the advertising that can be done on social media, which is much apparently more effective or reaches more people than local advertising in the paper. And so it's hard to get, you know, in the, say, 40 years ago, where else are you going to advertise? TV, right. Radio, paper. Those are your three places where you're going to advertise. Papers are gone now. They're literally gone. Like, there's nowhere to, like, the San Mateo Daily Journal, like, you can still find a paper version of that, you know, if you look hard enough. But papers are gone. So I'm just going to throw out my polar ice caps theory here, because we talked about, like, the minimum wage. It's out of whack of, like, you know, a local business has a hard time paying a minimum wage untrained person, you know, $18 an hour. Frank said at In-N-Out they pay over $21 an hour. It's hard to pay that if you're just a local business or whatnot. Polar ice caps theory. All of the money, there's enough money to go around to support these various businesses, chamber, but it's all sucked up into the polar ice caps of the ultra wealthy. We have so many billionaires now. Larry Ellison has $365 billion. That is a ridiculous situation. He can't ever spend that. That is about power and control and look and throwing your wad of money down on the table and saying, look how much money I have, how great a person I am. You know what? Larry, Jeff, whatever, pay your people. Again, Larry, Oracle famous for just waves of layoffs for no reason. Okay, meanwhile, he's got $365 billion. The amount of money that's sucked up into the polar ice cap. Businesses that don't want to pay you $500 for the Supreme package, no problem. I'm sure not everyone, but owner, no problem dropping $400 a ticket for a Niners game. Just for the ticket. Then the parking. Then the overpriced hot dogs. The Niners. You know, paying hundreds of millions of dollars in their salary, but then gouging you for $20 hot dogs. The polar ice caps theory. We're all, because we're the pavement ants here, the millions and millions of us pavement ants here down on the ground, are just fodder for these ultra billionaires to just suck up all that money. And guess what? Now there's no money left over for the federal government. You know, people are whining and crying about how much taxes they pay and have no problem with the billionaires getting away with paying less taxes than you do, especially after this recent bill that was passed this year. People, focus your attention where it needs to be focused. We can't have a local paper. We could have a local paper, but we don't. We don't have a local paper. We have a local news presence. Here's examples on that. A couple weeks ago, there was an internet outage on Friday. Mm-hmm. Nothing in the paper about that. No discussion of like what's happening. Nowhere to go to find that information. What's happening? Why don't we have internet? No discussion of that in the paper. No follow-up discussion the week after the internet was out. Here's why it's out, because there's only one pipe in. And when I get PTSD now when I see the Infiniti trucks driving around the neighborhood, because I know, like, oh, it's just a matter of time till I don't have internet, because they're going to take the – they apparently don't know how to reboot the system, because this a couple weeks ago was some system-wide upgrade, and then they rebooted and everybody else had power but or internet, but not here on the coast side, because there's only one pipe, and apparently they can't figure out the reboot process. So couldn't find any information about that. Last weekend or 2 weeks ago, there was these weird polymer strings that were coming out of the sky in Pacifica. You know, people were wondering about, what are these things? Nowhere to go to. No, this is happening locally. The things are coming down on the ground at the high school in Pacifica. Nowhere to find information about that. No discussion of that on our local news stores source. By the way, supposedly those are spider webs. I just really have a hard time believing that huge things up in the sky that people are seeing are spider webs. But
maybe we're turning into Australia. Have you ever seen them during spider season? Mm. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. Like the whole, now I'm sure there's parts of Australia that doesn't get covered, but like the whole thing gets covered in web. Like just web.
Okay, but on the ground, we don't have huge, you know, parachute size.
Well, as thick as some of them look, I mean, one good gust of wind from below, I could see that becoming a balloon.
But have you seen that kind of webbing around the coast side here that would then blow up in the sky? Did these blow from Australia?
That's what I'm saying. Maybe we're turning into Australia.
Enough
other weird things have happened with our like weather, so maybe our animals are morphing.
And then last week, there was the big hullabaloo at the tunnel. You know, a dozen police cars, drones, police dogs, a manhunt. There was literally like a single paragraph little note on Coast Side News about it. Went to check, had the interns check last night. Well, maybe they did a follow-up story. No, there was literally like an even smaller single paragraph mention of it. No details. What happened? I don't know. Who knows?
But I think I will just say, just going back to the original, my original point in the conversation, they only have one reporter, like Ashton. Sebastian's, his little thing, or big, his project ended. So we don't have Sebastian anymore. So the boots on the ground right now is Ashton. Ashton can only be in so many places.
Agreed. This is not a segment to bust the chops of Coast Side News. They're doing what they can do. I'm just saying the reality. And like, let's just set aside
underfunded.
Any blame of Coast Side News.
They're underfunded. Coast Side Buzz is underfunded.
We don't have any news. Coast Side Buzz is the place to go for source materials, but Michelle Dragony, who does Coast Side Buzz, specifically does not interject any kind of editorial person. That's for the reader to take their own takeaway from.
Right, but she is not paid to do that for the most part. She gets, people will do some advertising through her, and some of the agencies will, utilize her help. But for the most part, for the probably 40 to 50 hours solid per week that she puts into that work, she is not compensated for.
Yeah, and I say...
literally doing it out of the goodness of her heart and wanting our community to know what is happening at the different agencies. It's a level of commitment that you have to see to believe. And
she's been doing this for many... It's a labor of love.
Yeah.
And I mean, not every person and every business can do that, or every news source. But the point being, there's a black hole of information which allows for misinformation and specifically purposeful misleading, such that people aren't sure why the government is shut down, right? Or who's to blame? Why? I don't know. It's pretty obvious. Speaking of lack of news, have you heard anything about this big deal between the Harbor District and Caltrans to build a parking lot in El Granada? Probably not, unless you have, because you go to the meetings. Regular people on the coast side? Probably not, because that specific parking lot project hasn't come up on coast side news yet. That's a big deal, but we're not going to hear about it until it's already so far along that there's nothing to do about it, because there's a lack of information. Again, this is not to bust Coastside News' chops, but we have a lack of information here. Ironically, Rich Klein, part of the Coastside News ownership group, posted an op-ed in Coastside News last week expressing this very same lament. And I would say, Rich, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it read the news. In fact, here's some really depressing statistics.
It's not that they don't want to read the news. They just don't want to pay for the news.
Well, hold on to your shorts here, because we're about to really get dark. In fact, like the rule of law, integrity, fact-based science, and cooperation, the concept of news may be a dead issue in this country. According to the latest Gallup poll from data gathered last month, only 28% of Americans have a, quote, great deal or fair amount of confidence in newspapers, television, and radio to report the news accurately and fairly. That's down 31%, down from 31% last year. That's down 3 percentage points just from last year. That's 28% of American adults. Only 28% have confidence in the news. In 1972, that number was 68%.
I would attribute a lot of that to the big conglomerates that have purchased so many little stations and stuff. So, like, have you ever seen...
Hold on. No. I blame this on social media, internet, on-demand culture.
No, that definitely plays a part. But have you seen that video that shows... it'll put, like, 16 squares, like, you know, the Brady Bunch squares, and it'll play different news stations, but let's say they're all attached to one conglomerate, but they're like a little one from Tennessee and a little one from California and a little one from Hawaii or whatever it is, and they are literally word for word reading the exact same story off a teleprompter as if it's their own opinion and their own thing, but it was clearly written by the corporation that runs them all. So you get enough videos like that out there, then yes, I am not going to believe that, you know, dear sweet, you know, Brittany, who's been, you know, sitting at my local news desk for, you know, 10 years and we trusted her, and then to come find out that she's reading a teleprompter that was written by a conglomerate.
One in three counties doesn't have a full-time journalist. One in three counties. So in 1972, that number was 68% confidence, down to 28% now. This is the first time that number has ever dropped below 30%. And the irony here, Fox News watchers, is that only 8% of Republicans report confidence in news outlets. 8% of Republicans, only 8% have confidence in the news outlets, yet they're glued to Fox News. Huh. I wonder what could be the correlation there. For Democrats, the number is 51% have confidence, down from 76% in just 2018. Independents are at 27%. Boomers, 43%. Millennials, 23%. Gen Z, 28%. By the way,
I blame Fox Mulder. Question everything.
Which was a show on Fox. By the way, you notice I mentioned boomers, millennials, and Gen Z cited in this article. Not cited in this article, specifically not cited, Gen X. Why not? This is the only generation left in this country with a head on its shoulders. Not reported in this Fortune magazine article. Just so typical. This is why Gen X has a chip on its shoulder. Because we have to.
Gen X probably gave the surveyors the middle finger.
We did, yeah, because we have to do it. Everybody else's boomers are just like, oh, we got to be hippies. And then the me generation and divorces and addiction and whatever. We got to, like, run our life course. And millennials and Gen Z, like, have had it easy. Gen X is the one that had to, like, latchkey kids and divorce families. They're the ones that have had to eat the poop sandwich every single time.
I am sure.
And carry the weight for this country over the last 20 years.
Every generation has their version of a poop sandwich.
Okay, but here's the worst part of this statistic of lack of confidence in the news. Millennial Republicans, 6% confidence in the news. One part of it is the lack of credibility and honesty in the news that maybe Republicans might be watching. They know it's not true. They want to believe it for whatever reason. Okay. So that's why their numbers are so low. They want to not believe it, or they want to believe things that aren't true. 6% of millennial Republicans. Social media has destroyed what is considered news and what you feel like you can believe with deep fake videos and phishing.
I do want to point out that I think the word for social media gets put out there, but it's really the algorithms. Because if social media, let's just say social media stayed a pure form where anybody could write anything, whatever. But me as a consumer, if I was scrolling social media, wasn't specifically being served up those comments and instead had to search them out, you would have less people being influenced. But the algorithms were at the behest of Meta and Amazon and all of these big companies that control the, like, four algorithms that determine what it is that we see and take in on a day. And so those algorithms get tweaked to their own benefit. And I want to say, and I don't have any source, but my recollection is they've done studies that the algorithms serve you up the things that make you the angriest and the most passionate, because that's what keeps you on social media longer, which they then can serve you ads up longer.
Oh, of course. And guess what, folks? AI, oh, it's saving lives and it's for medical science. You know what AI is being used for? That exact thing. To fine-tune that algorithm and study exactly the things that will make you buy something or be upset or whatever. I mean, it's just...
But I just want to know who, the average person on social media is not necessarily spreading misinformation and lies and all of those things. It's the lower percentage of people that are doing those things are just being served up to the masses because of the algorithm.
Well, we'll leave it at that. But confidence in actual news is at an all-time low, and that's no coincidence. Okay, we actually got a bazillion emails last week. I guess I hit some pain points or some touch points. I got a couple of them here. Frank's giving me the fingers. We'll try to go fast. This one's from the Flying Pun, subject line, flying cars. Mr. Rubin, I don't know why you are so down on flying cars. I thought I was pretty specific about why I'm down on flying cars, but I think they're really cool. We are now living in the Jetsons age, and you should love them because now we won't have to build the coastside gondola. Lighten up and enjoy the ride. Am I getting punked? Really, the Jetsons? That's the pinnacle. That's what we're aiming for in this society. I stand firm on my position. Flying cars are ridiculous. And people will rue the day when they were excited that our world has become a children's cartoon. I do appreciate the gondola dig, though. That was funny. That was made the email worthwhile right there. Okay, here's one from Steely Man. Pickleball is just the subject line. Bruh. Oh, it's the bruh. It's the bruh guy. Okay, I haven't gotten an email from the bruh guy in a while. Bruh, pickleball is not even a real sport. It's wiffle ball for geezers, oh boy, who can't handle football or MMA. They should convert that court at Cunha into an octagon for bare-knuckle cage fights. Then you see some action. Whizzah! Okay, tough guy. I was not a believer in pickleball until I went and played, and yes, the demographic skews slightly older, but Steely Dan, these folks will wipe the court with you, dude, and then use you to line their shoes. Pickleball is a real sport, and you know what else?
Anything that gets you moving can be good for you and sport-like.
Oh, also true. And it's super fun. It's really fun. I wish there were public pickleball courts in every neighborhood. Steely Man, like it sounds like Steely Dan, which is like a super tough guy group, right? Steely Man, give it a try sometime. Hold on, Frank. Frank's telling me no. He's going to cut me off. So until Coastal Wind is the talk of the coast. But in the meantime, coming up this weekend, the 6th annual Alpacas by the Sea Harvest Festival in
Summer's End.
Next Friday, Eric DeBody, Executive Director of Abundant Grace Coastside Worker. And 2 weeks from now, Pumpkin Fest. All right. For Frank the Engineer, one of our main interns now, Noah, Crystalline, and myself, Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.